We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Herbie, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
I don't like that they just straight up eliminated Ozzie from the conversation. I feel like I know that you might run into some of the same problems that you have with Ricky as far as analytics go. Ozzie's still way better manager than Ricky. Way better. And he was proving it to you every night on the post game show. I was listening to people gnash their teeth about it. And I was in text exchange with Herbie and Campy and Tony. And we were talking about it. I wanted you to know that it didn't get past me. That I understand your point of view and your frustration on the subject. I just think that they're probably leaning in a direction of at least talking to two guys that they can't talk to until the World Series is over. If they do that and then they come to the conclusion of it being Tony La Russa, I would be surprised.
Make me a bicycle clown.
I'd be less surprised now than I was 2 weeks ago. Welcome in. My name is Lawrence Holmes. I'm here with you until 2 o'clock today. We're going to continue some of this Tony La Russa discussion. I am also going to distract myself with how bad the Bears played on Monday. Dan Durkin has reached a conclusion, and he is going to tell you about that conclusion coming up around 12:25 when we go inside the film room with him. Mike Dettelier from NOLA, from WWL, is going to talk to us about everything that's happening down there and how the Saints are getting ready. I got some Michael Thomas questions that I want to ask him about. And then Jason Leisure is going to join us at 1 o'clock. Jason, by the way, is now going to be with us every Thursday at 1. And we're excited to have him here because he covers the Bears and does the Halas Intrigue podcast. He's also like a crazy White Sox fan. So I am looking forward to getting his opinion on what's going on with the White Sox as well. If you're on the Twitch stream, you can see me. I'm wearing orange. Twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. I like the fact that there have been a bunch of people over since I came back, and we've been doing a little bit more Twitch that have jumped on. I appreciate that you're consuming the show that way. Alexa, play 670 The Score. Yeah, just stay on that. You can just listen at the radio.com app too if you don't want to watch and you just want to hang out. I want to give Herbie some space to get in here to talk about La Russa, but let me just say this before I give Herbie some space to speak on this. First of all, hashtag bring back Ricky at this point. I was talking to a couple different people that are White Sox fans this morning, and we were going down the list of available candidates to be manager, and in no list was La Russa not the last one. I know I just went double negative. He was the last one on every one of those lists. We were going down like, yeah, I'd prefer that the White Sox had that guy. I'd prefer that this would happen. And now you're seeing, I've seen, you know, John Heyman tweet this, a couple other people say that there are other managers that are in this thing, that it's not completely done. The owner can hire whomever they want. And I think then it's incumbent upon the two guys that are left with the baseball side of it, Kenny Williams and Rick Hahn, to kind of make up their minds on what they want to do. And if you guys have fought for this vision, if you're Rick and you fought for this, you fought for, well, we're going to change things, and Kenny had his success, and now here's an opportunity for me to change the way that the White Sox do business. You go all the way up to making the surprising move of firing Coop and firing Ricky Renteria after a disappointing end to the season for the White Sox. If you go all the way up to that point just to get Tony La Russa to manage the team, it seems like a lot of wasted time and a lot of wasted energy. If Rick honestly feels like Tony is the best manager for the White Sox and it's not just something that he's going to say in a press conference because Jerry told him to, okay, fine. But then I have some questions about you running the team, which I didn't have a lot of questions about before. I have questions about the things that you said about what you were looking for in a manager. And he doesn't fit the description that you gave. I'm not here to speak for you on this. You'll feel however you want to feel about this. I'll just say that as I've been talking more and more with friends of mine that are White Sox fans about it, and you know, Herbie and Ricky, Tony, I've talked with them about it. It's going to be hard for me. Like, you saw how hard I went like on White Sox stuff this year. It's going to be hard for me to circle that square as a fan if they make this move. They can pretty much hire anyone else. And I'm ready to go forward. If they hire this guy, I don't know how you can be excited as a White Sox fan that that's the hire that was made after all of this. I truly don't. I've been trying to think, like, I understand, like, this guy has done really great things and can manage a bullpen and fundamentals and all of that good stuff that I do think the White Sox need. I don't like the cost of it. I don't like what you lose if you hire him. And what you lose is positive momentum, a growth in your fan base. I think all of that goes out the window. The enthusiasm for White Sox baseball, I think, goes out the window if you make this move. And I've been trying not to just stick in my own echo chamber. I'm trying to figure out if there are people who are actually excited about the possibility of Tony La Russa managing, and I'm finding them hard to locate. It would really sadden me as a White Sox fan if this is the move that they make. And I'm not even, I don't even mean anger, although there would be some anger in there. It would sadden me because it would mean that everything that has been fought for the White Sox over the last, let's call it 5 years, is completely thrown in the garbage. Herbie, what do you think about this?
It's absolute garbage. I do not understand the move at all. It is antithetical what Rick just said a couple weeks ago about recent championship experience. And he fired Ricky, and he fired the pitching coach, Don Cooper, if you read the Daryl Van Scowen article, because of their non-embrace of analytics.
Correct.
We just heard from Tony La Russa earlier this year talking about analytics have gone too far. There needs to be a correction, and I would like to have that chance to do that. It goes against all the stuff. You fire Ricky to hire another old guy that's going to go the opposite way of what your team's going. The change the game team, you're going to bring the baseball police here? Come on now. The only way I would accept it is if whoever, Rick, if he's still there when the hiring happens, if it happens, or if it's Jerry or Kenny, they just say, hey, we went into it with a mind that we're going to hire this guy, or this guy. But when a Hall of Fame manager says he wants to manage, I got to say, give that Hall of Famer a chance. And we just went with the Hall of Famer. I would say I disagree with it, but that's a good reason. Don't hem and haw about analytics and Tony La Russa being up on the game and all that garbage. Tell me the truth. You wanted this guy from the beginning, and you usurped Rick's authority and his power as the baseball man, Jerry Reinsdorf, to do his job. And if Rick Hahn, which I'm hearing, I mean, I don't have sources. I'm not a person like that. But Dan just said there's internal strife there. I'm sure Rick doesn't want to have this bum be his manager. And I call him a bum because of his thoughts on Colin Kaepernick. which you and Dan just discussed, not because of his resume. His resume is undefeated. But if Rick Hahn doesn't stand up to Jerry, and then Jerry says, no, I'm hiring this guy, Rick has to leave. He has to bounce. Same thing with Kenny. You cannot have your owner go over your head, especially at this point with all the work, as you said, all the work that he put in there, all the time he had to convince Jerry and Kenny to say, hey, rebuilding's the right way to go. Now that we're here, almost at the mountaintop, you're going to take all my power that I've all done all this work. You're going to take all my power away and hire the guy that I don't want to be managing the team? I'm out. And guess what? Rick Hahn will have a job the next day if he wants one. So, yeah.
I agree. It might not be the general manager's job, but he'll definitely have a job, even though the job market in Major League Baseball itself has shrunk. And look, I'm trying to be really delicate about this because I'm sympathetic to Rick trying to kind of fight the good fight. And I've seen it. Like, I've seen it up close. Him trying to fight the good fight inside that organization to change the way that things are done. I am not someone that usually is extreme on a lot of these issues. In fact, I had a conversation with Rick earlier this year where I was talking about that, you know, I'm the diplomat of this show. I've got the the raging lunatic on the other side of the glass and Herbie. I'm the diplomat of this show, so I don't ordinarily go to an extreme. I'm not here to tell you how Rick should feel. I'll tell you how I would feel, and I would quit immediately. And loudly, I would quit. We need to take a break. When we come back, Dan Durkin has come to a conclusion about Matt Nagy. You will want to hear the conclusion that he's come to. It's next here on The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2, on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
See that Bears game last week?
Yeah, hell of a game, hell of a game. Bears got a great team this year.
Let's go into the film room with Dan Durkin.
I thought this tape was going to be a
conversation stimulator, man.
Dan breaks down every Bears game like no other.
I'm going to go back and watch it. I'm going to evaluate myself and see where I was. And then if there's any drops in there, those guys are going to hear it. I'm going to get on them.
Lawrence Holmes with Dan Durkin now on 670 The Score.
Actually, pretty decent film.
Dan Durkin joins me on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford has 500 new and used vehicles for you to choose from out in Melrose Park, or you can go to alpamonteford.com. We bring Dan Durkin in because he breaks down film like nobody else, and we love talking football with him. The All 22 review is on YouTube, and you should check it out. So you've come to a conclusion about Matt Nagy as a play caller. What is that conclusion, Mr. Durkin?
I think it's time to find out what else the Bears might have in terms of a play caller on their staff currently. This is something I think we've all been wondering about for a while, but when it's so plainly put out for you as it was this past Monday night, when they played the Rams, it was a clear distinction in my head. You have on one sideline, Matt Nagy, a guy who just seemingly calls plays. And then on the opposite sideline, you have Sean McVay, who is coordinating an offense that is designed to win against his opponents, finding ways to poke holes in deficiencies or take away what that team does best. And too often when I've watched Nagy since he got here, I have a really tough time understanding like what the thought was, like what were they going after in this particular game? And that's a sign to me that these are plays that are just being called at random. I think that there's far too much, expectation that personnel groupings and formations and making the team have to prepare for just a potential volume of plays is the right way to go about it. It's just not. You contrast it against McVay, and I think it just became very crystal clear when you look at how McVay runs his offense and how he adjusts as defenses adjust to him. You just don't see that from Nagy. So I think at 5-2, they owe it to the defense to find out, can Bill Lazor spark something? Can, John DeFilippo spark something? Dave Ragone, whomever it is, if it's a committee approach, because I can safely say right now, this offense is not progressing under Matt Nagy's play calling.
So what am I supposed to say to the person who goes, all right, I agree with Lawrence and Dan when it comes to the play calling issue, but no incredible play caller is going to fix the problems that they have on the offensive line. Now, my retort has been, the Rams don't have a great offensive line, and they're using creativity to cover that up. How do you feel about this?
Yeah, that's the right retort to that is what the Rams offensive line on a snap by snap basis is not going to beat the Bears defensive line straight up. So what did Sean McVay do? Ran outside zone. What did he build on the passing game off of that? Bootlegs and half rolls off of that. So what do? You take the defense, what they do well, pin their ears back and rush upfield. Now you're changing their rush lanes. And not only are you changing their rush lanes, you are using their over-aggressiveness and their fast blow to the ball against them. And so that to me is a sign of coaching where he knew that Austin Corbett's not going to beat Akeem Hicks, 95% of the snaps to line up. It's going to be the flip. So how do you counter that? Get them moving laterally and then break the play off from there. It's either if it's a run play, stretch it out and force their defensive backs or their safeties to come up and play run support. So you're kind of negating the front seven in that. Or if you're going to boot off of it, now you're going to make them stop and chase you the opposite way where you have receivers that are breaking open because they knew all along what the actual play call was. So that to me is the biggest problem is where were the screens in this game? When you know that you have a ferocious pass rusher like Aaron Donald, where were the traps against Donald? Where were the runs away? I think about what you and I spoke about last week. And what are the first two plays from the Bears against them? Runs at Aaron Donald. It's like, what's the logic behind that? I just really struggle to understand how when you have a week to prepare your call sheet that those are the first two and you're in your first 15 that you wanted to go to. So just I think that there are ways that you can work around talent deficiencies, and I think McVay made that very clear on Monday night as well.
Nick Foles was under pressure on 50% of his dropbacks. How do you go about evaluating what it is that he was doing at the quarterback spot?
Not enough. I mean, when you think about some of those, you know, scat protection, so what does that mean? It's a five-man protection where the quarterback is responsible for the sixth pass rusher if there is one that comes in. And so getting that to understand, if you're sliding the line away and then you have three defenders and only two blockers, you need to have your eyes fixed on the guy who could be coming in on a blitz. And you think about that Darnell Mooney throw, I think is the perfect example of that. So when you know you're probably going to get pressure in your face like that, maybe you want to throw one of those patented floaters that he does and just hope that the receiver is able to run underneath it and adjust that way. But I didn't like his decision-making on several throws throughout the game. Yes, there was pressure in his face, but again, that comes back to move the pocket, get him out of the stationary home position in the pocket and help him out. But decision-making in the red zone, so many horizontal, like sideline routes, not throwing the ball into the end zone. And then when he did, the play was double covered. So just, I don't see the coach helping out the player. And I think that, you know, like what the reveal was with Greasy, I believe that. I believe that he said that. And to me, he knows what he's working with up front. And I think what he's kind of getting at is they need to be a little bit more realistic about what it is that they can and cannot do. And I think Nick probably just pointed it out to Greasy. And then Greasy opened up a big can of worms on the broadcast.
Johnny Hecker was named Special Teams Player of the Month. He was incredible on Monday night. I'm curious, though, when you went back and watched it, was there something that maybe Ted Ginn was seeing that I wasn't seeing? Because I didn't understand on at least three of the punts why he didn't field them.
That experiment should have ended after the first week they tried Ted Ginn at the punt returner. He clearly has no interest in doing that job. It's very evident, and it's been evident since the beginning. Even when he was fielding punts in the first game, it was immediately he was running to the sideline. But to your specific question in the Rams game, the last punt where Hecker just boomed it, that's your opportunity to get a run back when there is a huge gap between you and the coverage. I think in that one is probably about like between 10 and 15 yards between the time he would have caught the ball and anybody was even going to be near him in terms of the lane they are running down the field. That's your opportunity to break a big one. And so why he chose not to field that punt is confounding to me. So they need to try something different back there, whether it's Anthony Miller, Dwayne Harris, something, because they're getting nothing from that. And when you have an offense that is really reliant on just consecutively stringing small passes together to get down the field, field position matters, and they're not getting any change of possession, any field position advantage from their punt return team. So I think, much like I'm saying, it's time to turn the page on Matt Nagy as a play caller. It's definitely time to turn the page on Ted Ginn as the punt returner.
Dan, as always, I appreciate your time. Thank you so much for joining me. An incredible analysis on the All-22 review on YouTube. Follow Dan on Twitter at DJ Durkin. Have a great week, and hopefully we're talking about better things next Thursday.
Yeah, I'm not counting on it, but have a good week, Lawrence.
That is Dan Durkin. You know what I like about Dan? He's not the dude that is like hyperbolic. He's just telling you, this is what I see, and he's pouring over the tape. And I think he's right. I think he's right on a lot of different subjects when it comes to the Bears. We're going to get a scouting report on the Saints. If you weren't already worried enough, what's Alvin Kamara going to do with a run defense that gives up? And you got one of the more creative play. You know what? We're going to take a break, and we're going to talk about the Saints versus the Bears, and maybe I won't feel as bad about it next here on The Score.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
I'm a firm believer that the Superdome has the best pregame music in the NFL. Maybe I'll do that for a Top 5 Tuesday at some point. The Bears take on the Saints at 3:25. That game will be played here in Chicago. I've got some concerns, as you can imagine. And I also have some questions about the Saints, because I'm trying to figure out how good they are. And I think I have an idea, but I wanted to find out more. Mike D'Antilier works at WWL, the classic station down in NOLA. He was nice enough to spend a few minutes with us, even though they're dealing with a hurricane down there. He joins me on the Alpamonte Ford hotline. Alpamonte Ford has 500 new and used vehicles for you to choose from. You can also check out Alpamonte Ford Mike.com. Mike, thanks so much for joining me. First off, how are things down there?
Just depends on where you at. I live 60 miles from New Orleans, south and west of it. And so I was very near where the eye passed. In fact, the front part of the eye actually passed where I lived. So we got winds. It's been clock 94 here, sustained. Gust into the 110s, and got about 4 inches of rain, all in 2.5 hours.
Wow.
And I'm not kidding you. I've never been through a storm like this. You know, I'm 50 years plus, and it was moving 24 miles an hour. So, man, it was boogied. But in that 2.5 hours, it was rock and roll. And so I had absolutely nothing more than tree damage. Stuff in the yard, nothing home-wise. But, man, it depends on where you are. Major, major damage in the southern part of the state. Wind, tree, water damage. And fortunately, it was a fast-moving storm, and it didn't build up that water. And this is where normally you would have some issues because of basically falling into the Gulf little by little. But Louisiana and southern southwest Mississippi really caught it pretty bad, where even passing directly over the state, directly over the city of New Orleans and into Mississippi, it was still over 100-mile-an-hour winds.
Man, well, I'm glad that you're doing all right and that the storm didn't linger and raise the water level in the city. My second favorite American city. So I'm glad that you are doing all right and everything seems to be okay down there for now. Now I want to ask you some football questions.
Okay.
How concerned are people in NOLA about Drew Brees and arm strength at this point?
I think very little. Big concern is on defense. This is a team that's 32nd in the NFL in red zone defense. I mean, so you have issues once people get in the red zone to stop them, because I think that's what pro and college football is all about. You know, you're going to give up yardage 20-20. It's what you can do beyond there and forcing them to kick field goals instead of touchdowns. And they just have not been able to do it. They've really struggled on the back end, giving up a lot of chunk plays via the air. Pass interference penalties have been rampant on this football team, lack of communication, and they have not got a good pass rush. I think that's been the most disappointing part for me in watching this team, who was so good at putting pressure on the quarterback and getting sacks, not getting him this year at all. They got one last week against Bridgewater, and it was a big one because Joey Sly just missed that 65-yard field goal. One more yard, and he'd have hit that from 64, so and put it in overtime. So that has really been more on the defensive side of the football. They got people that will always complain about Drew Brees, and they can really complain when he's not here. Because they're going to say, man, do we miss number 9? But the great Jimmy Taylor, God bless him, he passed away a little over a year ago. And Jimmy was, you know, one of the all-time greats with the Packers at running back, played at LSU, lived until he passed away in Baton Rouge. This is a few years back. The Saints had signed Adrian Peterson. And, man, some of these writers, you would have swore Jim Brown walked back on the field. And, you know, they were writing all kind of stuff. And, you know, Jimmy got in touch with me and said, Mike, there is no way with that type of mileage that Adrian Peterson has on him that he can still produce at that same level. And I said, you know, I know what it was for me in the final couple years in Green Bay. He said that last year with the Saints, I collected money, but I couldn't play anymore. But he said the last 2 years with the Saints, with the Packers, he said I could touch greatness every once in a while. But he said, what happened to me is it was a constant like ebb and flow. I couldn't do it consistently week to week. I think early on you saw that with Drew, that he would have some highs and lows in games. And I think people, he's getting old. We saw it in the first half against the Chargers. Second half, he was terrific. he was just superb against the Panthers. He touched greatness. So I think as you get older, and I had this talk with Peyton Manning, because he does his Manning Passing Academy very close to where I live every year, and he's like, when I brought up the comment about Jimmy Taylor, he was like, Mike, that's absolutely true. He said, you know, at the end, I couldn't really even touch it. I was hoping to touch very goodness, much less greatness. But, you know, had a great defense running game. It really helped me out. So I think it's been overblown with Drew about his arm strength. He never was an arm thrower to begin with. A big part of the problem has been no Michael Thomas since week one, and he will not play against the Bears.
So he's not. Then, so he's down, right? He's completely down for this game.
Yeah, he pulled a hamstring at practice, you know, because we don't get to see much of it. He came back from the high ankle sprain, and then, you know, him and Chauncey Garner got into got into some fisticuffs and everything else. And, you know, Mike had a bad moment, and him and the coaches got into it too. And, you know, he got sat down for a game. And when he came back, I saw him sort of grab for the back of his leg, and he walked off sort of gingerly. And it's a pulled grade A hamstring strain. So they're going to be very cautious with him. I doubt seriously he's going to play. I would say he's out against the Bears. And Emmanuel Sanders, who Drew had just started to get in a groove with, he's in the COVID-19 process, so he won't play either. So it'll be just like it was last week against the Panthers. No Michael Thomas, no Emmanuel Sanders for the Saints. I think that had an impact on this football team. Well, now they have to rely so much more on Alvin Kamara as a runner and a receiver with Jared Cook at tight end. And they've been just blessed, similar to the Bears, to have a rookie wide receiver. He's undrafted. Marquez Callaway has really stepped up his play from the University of Tennessee and came through big. And then what happens late in the game against the Panthers? He twists his ankle, so he's questionable. So, man, Drew's not playing with a full amount of change in the pockets, so to speak. That has been a big part of why this offense maybe has not clicked at the same manner you've seen it in the past. It has nothing to do with Drew, but it has to do with the other guys around him.
Mike, I appreciate your time so much. You gave like the most thorough report on what's going on with the team in two questions, and I thank you for that. Like I love that city that you represent, and I hope that things stay mellow as far as flooding and winds go. Thanks so much for being on the show. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much. All I know is I wish I had alcohol sales in the city over the last 2 days, today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Man, I would never have to work again because, man, it's been that type of year. This is 7 storms we've been in a cone, 5. We've been in either hurricane watch or warnings, and 4 direct hits.
That is, and then you, on top of, you know, the worldwide
pandemic, the COVID situation.
Right, that we're all living through, too, all of that good stuff.
So I told Sean, because Coach Payton was always sort of teasing about, man, when do you sleep? I hear you at 6:50 in the morning. You do sports talk at night. When do you get a chance to nap? I said, the next phone call they'll give me won't be about hurricane. It'll probably be about some blizzard happening in South Louisiana because that's the way 2020 is. But listen, the Saints are a good football team. They've had success against the Bears since 2011. And, man, Sean just finds a way to win. But I'm telling you, you got some opportunities here because the Saints secondary is 2 words, lousy.
Mike, be well, man. I appreciate you.
All right, guys. Take care, buddy.
That is Mike Dettillier from WWL in New Orleans. Am I crazy? Or did he? Because, you know, with the Cajun accent, it drifts into different places into the South. Did that guy not sound like Dusty Rhodes?
Oh yeah, 100%.
Like he sounded like Dusty Rhodes, right?
I get Dusty Rhodes. I get Ed Orgeron. Oh my goodness, I feel so good
right.
when he talks.
And I heard Bomani say this on his podcast, and he's 100% right. If you've ever heard a woman from New Orleans say the word "baby," oh, that accent, man, it is killer. It is killer. It is one of the best things about America. The New Orleans accent. I'm telling you. Shout out to Mike. That was a lot of fun. He totally sounded like Dusty Rhodes. We got a Saints report from Dusty Rhodes. Fantastic. Jason Leisure is going to join me next. I am curious to get his thoughts on everything that has to do with the Bears, but he is also a White Sox fan, so we'll talk to him about that too next here on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.